We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I've been on a long hiatus, and I have returned like some biblical character back from the void. I have returned to bring you more suckiness, the most suckiness I can give you. But we are no longer the Sucky Podcast. We are officially the Sucky Broadcast. And I'm doing that because I'm trying to make us look more professional, so people want us more in their lives and all that good stuff. Hope you've had a long hiatus while you were not listening to us, I guess. And I can tell you that I personally have moved from Chicago to Dallas-Fort Worth area. I currently reside in Arlington, and I can't touch this desk that I found on Facebook Marketplace because it wobbles too much and it makes my camera wobble. So that's me. But anyways, welcome to this sucky broadcast. I promise you, we're back. We're not going anywhere. I'm not going to disappear for a long time or anything like that. You can follow us on all of our social medias, and it's going to be a good time. A good time is going to be had by all. I'm going to bring in guests. We're going to try to stay off the political bandwagon. I know you guys think, oh, Bradley's political all the time, whatever. Nope. On this show, it's just me being funny and clean shaven. Because if you haven't noticed, I also shaved my beard because I was like, new me. I don't know what I was going to say there. Anyways, it's going to be a great show. Let's get started right now. Put your hands together. My guest for today's show is an individual that I have discovered through driving around the Dallas-Fort Worth area and seeing a billboard for a sign that said, with some old man on the front that said, "Hey, I'm back." And I was like, I don't know who the hell that guy is, but I guess he's back, whatever. And so I saw, "Come and listen to me at The Freak." And I was like, you know what? The Freak sounds like the radio station that I want to listen to. And so I started listening to the Freak, started falling in love with all the various voices on there, but none so sweet, so harmonious as Sweet Grooves. Michael Grooves Gruber is joining me now. Hello, Michael. Hello. Gruber. Welcome to the show.
Good. My voice sucks, so I think this will be a good fit.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, before we get into everything, you visualize what you think people look like. And when I first heard the show, when I heard the downbeat, for example, that'll be the one I really visualized. I thought you were this like tall, stunning guy or whatever. Danny was how I pictured Danny. Reiner was how I pictured Reiner. And Sir Royce was like a little Weasley guy in my brain, look at me, guys. Blah, blah, blah. And I that's how I pictured him in my head. And then when I finally met all you guys, when you invited me to come and be on the show for a drive time or whatever it's called, I was like, yeah, nobody looks what I thought they would. So welcome to the show, Rubes.
Good to be with you. Yeah, that's about the story of radio. You always picture what they look like in your head, and then very rarely do they look anywhere close to it, except like you said, Danny, I feel like is pretty easy to visualize for some reason, but Everybody else, like Saroy, you don't imagine him being a giant slab of Lithuanian beef.
Right. I think what it was I heard him, I think he was playing a race car driver, and he was doing a game show, and he was the race car driver in this game show. And I thought, oh, this guy's a nerd. Like in my brain, I go, this guy is clearly a nerd. He's probably got like a backwards cap and like big glasses. And like, I don't know, like in my head, because I worked in radio. I worked in radio for a long time. And so working with different people, I've gotten like an idea of like, here's what everybody looks like. And that's in my brain. That's what I just thought. That's what you guys look like. Now I lived and learned. It's great.
Yeah. And yeah. The majesty of Garland Richardson is the Saroy race car driver character.
That's it.
Which is so two cities here in DFW.
Right. And I got, see, that's the funny thing is, I think you knew that too, is when I first moved here, like I said, I saw the billboard, had Michael Reiner on it, Texas Hall of Fame radio guy. And I didn't know who he was. And it said, I'm back and I'm on the air here. And I went there and whatever. And when I got on Facebook and said, hey, I like this. I want to get on Facebook and be like, I'm here, guys. So I went into this Facebook group that you guys have set up for the radio station. And everybody just started like hitting me with these inside jokes that I didn't get. And I was just like, I just moved here and I don't get these inside jokes. The other thing that did annoy me though is, and this is anywhere, is when I go, hey, I moved here from Chicago, and people are like, oh, you must be excited. There's a Portillo's here. And I'm like, I'm not from Chicago. I just lived in Chicago for a couple years. It's a hot dog. Like, you can, what can you do with a hot dog? And sorry, Chicago. Sorry, whatever. Please don't send people after me. But Portillo's is just a hot dog place. I don't know.
There's only so much you can do.
Yeah, right. I lived by Wiener Schnitzel when I lived in L.A. And for me, that was I was like, five corn dogs for $5? Sign me up. I'm there all the time.
I want that.
I was right next door. That's why I'm actually losing weight now. But I was big for a long time, and it was because it was $5 chili dogs and $5 corn dogs. Anyways, I'm glad you could be my – thank you. Congratulations. You're the first guest on my show.
I'm honored. Seriously, that's it's a really cool thing, you know, getting to know you a little bit and all that. I'm honored to be your first guest on the rejuvenated Sucky broadcast.
Thank you. Resuccitated.
Yes.
Something like nice. That. I'm fascinated by you because I just thought, oh, this is some board op from some radio station or whatever like that. But no, you're famous. And you're humble. You're so humble and so. But tell me, give me the history of grooves. I give it to everybody right now. The history of grooves.
Man, so I'm 37 years old. I was born, raised, and never left Dallas, or at least the DFW area. So I've been here my whole life. I kind of just, got my start in radio or working overall when I started interning at The Ticket, which is the number one sports radio station probably in the country at this point, but definitely in Dallas. And really, they're the number one station just overall right now. They're just kicking ass for the last 30 years. I became a listener of them back when I was 14 or so, 1999, 2000, and just kind of got obsessed with the station. A few of the people currently on The Freak, worked there as well. And Mike Reiner is the one that started The Ticket, or at least helped found it and all that with the investors and stuff. And so, from my side of things, I just started listening. It had a bunch of fart humor. It had a bunch of just silliness. And you could tell everybody really liked each other, got along great. And I just kind of had that little thought in the back of my mind of, man, it would be really cool to work there. And, around that time, I was going to high school and trying to play baseball. Didn't really succeed, and kind of realized that my dream of, being the next Ivan Rodriguez, Pudge for the Texas Rangers probably wasn't going to happen. So in my junior year, I started kind of looking into jobs and, whether it was going to work at McDonald's or something, just, to kind of get a taste of the workforce. Mm-hmm. But one of my coaches at Jesuit for baseball, Danny Lowry, was actually a sales guy at The Ticket. So, I kind of had a little bit of that in. And just kind of asked, hey, I'm looking to kind of, try to pick up a job for the summer. Is there any possibility of doing something up there. And this is 20 years ago, so rules and regulations were a little different, maybe more relaxed, where, you know, didn't have to necessarily get, you know, any kind of credits or anything like that. And a couple weeks later, you know, got confirmation that I would be interning for Norm Hitzkus, who is also a Texas Radio Hall of Famer. He's been the 10 to noon host since 2000, I believe, and just kind of got my start interning with him. But the thing I always loved about the Ticket, like I said, was the fart drops, the humor, all that. And, you know, kind of figured out, okay, that's done by someone, you know, a position called the board operator. I didn't know anything about what else that entailed, except this guy plays fart drops and I want to do that. So I just kind of thankfully was able to stick around, made a decent impression, you know, working hard, you know, at 16 and just trying to, you know, earn my keep. But, you know, I started kind of poking around, telling, you know, a few people up there, like, you know, I'd really love to, you know, if that opportunity ever arises, to become the board operator for the afternoon show, The Hard Line, which is hosted by, was hosted by Mike Reiner for years. And, you know, Mike remembers me telling him that when I was about 18, and, you know, it was totally, you know, the confidence of youth or whatever you want to call it. Like, I cringe thinking about that now, but, you know, I told him, hey, I want to be your board operator. And he has never forgotten that. And I get to, I'm now back to being his board operator, and it's been just as fun as it, you know, I imagine it being 25 years ago now or so. So I wound up at the Ticket for about 10 years. I left in 2012 to kind of get back to trying to pursue my college degree. I dropped out when I became full-time with the Ticket at 21, and kind of realized that, you know, unfortunately, just the way, you know, the position is set up, you're not going to make much money no matter how good you are. And that's just the reality of the business. You know, it hurt to realize that, but, you know, I understood. But I kind of realized, you know, being 26, it's probably about time to figure out if there's something else out there. And so went back to college, started up at University of North Texas with about 70-something credits, you know, to or hours to my credit. And, you know, but even at that point, like within a couple months, was already starting to hear from my buddy Jeff Kay, who's the PA guy for the Dallas Stars the last 10 years or so, maybe more. But he'd mentioned that the Stars might be looking for a new music director, DJ, you know, the guy that plays the music at the games. And I, you know, asked if I was interested. I told him, like, I like hockey, but I don't really understand it. And I've never played music for, you know, a sporting event or anything like that. But sure, you know, it's a job opportunity. Like, I'm not going to immediately say no. And so I kind of had that in the back of my mind. And then as that summer progressed, the NHL wound up having a lockout. That was the 2012-13 season. You know, so they wound up starting the season basically around Christmas. And, you know, we're kind of like, we're not going to try to put you in that position. So the guy that's currently doing the Mavs is going to do it for this season and reevaluate from there. And he did a really good job, but he – it was too much for him to take on because he was also a school teacher and just doing a bunch of other stuff. So the opportunity came around again, and got that opportunity with the Stars and started to kind of go back a little bit. But, you know, around that whole time too, I'd kind of gotten in touch with a friend that was working at Fox Sports Southwest, now Bally Sports Southwest, which, you know, TV station that carries Rangers, Mavs, Stars, a bunch of other stuff, high school football. And, you know,
well, Rangers, if Rangers, if you jump a couple.
It's a whole thing right now that I don't really have any control over. And apparently not many. No one really does. But he, you know, we'd been friendly while I was during my time at the ticket, because we've kind of exchanged audio with each other that one side or the other might need. And he would always kind of say, hey, you know, if you ever want to start making some real money, you know, let me know. And, you know, I'll bring you over and start training you on the audio board for Fox Southwest. Oh,
wow. Okay.
And so I started doing that, you know, freelancing, kind of, you know, picking up maybe like a weekend shift or two, you know, each week, like nothing crazy, because it was still at the time, you know, taking classes and all that. But then just as things kind of progressed, I realized, okay, there really is some, you know, money and some legit work that can be done with Southwest. And then when the Stars thing became official and realizing, oh, this is pretty decent money for, you know, working a game. I dropped out of college again. and, you know, jumped back into, you know, doing the Stars and Fox Sports Southwest. And then over the years, got an opportunity to take over as the Mavericks DJ, because unfortunately, that DJ, Wiz T was his stage name, passed away during the 2014-15 season. So I wound up getting that opportunity for a season and started doing some stuff with the Frisco Rough Riders, the Rangers minor league, double A team. And, you know, wound up doing about a year's worth of, the show called The Dose, which was like a web only or a web series for, Fox Sports Southwest, Bally Sports Southwest, just doing little like 1 minute skits and stuff that would air that, I think there's still some like on YouTube and stuff like that, and just all these different really fun opportunities. And then, you know, before the 2020 season, got the opportunity to take over as the Texas Rangers music director. And, you know, that was a lifelong dream, you know, working for the Rangers and getting to be the guy playing all the prompts and sound effects and walk-up music and just all the stuff that, you know, I'd heard from my entire childhood to present day. And then wound up getting this opportunity with the Freak, and it kind of felt like coming home again, you know, working with Reiner and Danny and Saroy and Ben and Skin, who I was their first weekend producer back nearly 20 years ago on the ticket.
Okay.
So me and Ben and Skin go back a long ways, and I've known Christina for a decade. And, you know, KT, I was the first person from the ticket that he contacted trying to get a job up there. And, you know, so I was the first one to kind of reference him over to, you know, the person that eventually did hire him. And, you know, Kavanaugh I've known for forever. So, and Julie, of course, like, I've just known all these people forever and just been, you know, treated like an equal. Like, you know, there's no, like, you're a board operator. And, you know, I never really experienced that at the ticket either, except for just the nature of the position itself. But
I have noticed that you're, because I didn't even realize you were the board operator. I just thought you were this cool guy that somehow was on both shows,
right?
And because when I see when you go to the website, you see Grooves on Ben and Skin, and then you see Grooves on the Downbeat, and you're like, wow, this guy's so good, he's on two shows.
And no, it's like, just, oh, no, I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough as a host to be able to do one show. So, because I never aspired to be a host, to be clear, like, you know, because I'm comfortable with everybody, like, and know everybody's sense of humor. I can talk on air when appropriate, hopefully. But, my strength is audio and playing drops and, you know, anticipating what they're going to say and hopefully finishing what they say with a drop.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you know, like working in a one-liner, especially with Ben and Skin, like I've known Ben long enough that I tend to really be able to get his hit his funny bone and, you know, making, try to, you know, help accentuate things, but not take over. Or if I do take over, you know, that it's funny. and not annoying or something like that. And it's a fine line.
Yeah.
And I definitely cross it multiple times a show probably, but thankfully there's enough, you know, freedom and trust and all that, that they, we all have that room to be able to kind of poke fun at each other, to be able to, you know, kind of manipulate the segments in different ways and not just, you know, oh, we're following the book, which most radio doesn't really do that anyway, or at least that's entertaining generally. So it's been, like I said, kind of like coming home, you know, and it's just been so comfortable, you know, pretty much from the start. Like, we all kind of had to get our sea legs again. Like, you know, someone like Reiner had done it for, you know, 30 years, basically, but he'd been retired for a couple years.
Right,
so
right.
That's kind of get reacclimated. So, like, guys like Danny and Saroy and Julie and KT had all been kind of producers or sports anchor people, like, you know, not hosting, like, except for like on weekends and stuff. So it's a big change to all of a sudden 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, rather than a 1 or 2 hour weekend show, you know, every week. So we've all had to adjust in different ways, but we all love and trust each other enough that we're able to kind of say, you know, how we feel about where we're at, and like, hey, you know, I might need to be carried a little bit here because this is unfamiliar. And, you know, that went away pretty quickly, where I feel like now, you know, we're 6 months into it and, you know, just feeling better each week, each show, each segment about, you know, how to do the job, how to, you know, sharpen things up just a little bit, figuring out, you know, what can stay, what can go, what maybe needs to be looked at again or brought back and all that, because now we got 6 months of history, so to speak, to kind of work with, rather than, you know, a lot of us came from the Ticket or the Fan, the other sports radio station in town, and we're all, you know, with the Freak, we're not sports. Like, we're about 15-20% sports on any given day, and a lot of times less.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's talk, it's fun, it's, you know, just trying to be as entertaining as possible, talking about whatever we talk about. So it's been a really fun journey, but there's also all these habits that we kind of have to unlearn of, you know, coming from our previous jobs. And for me, being
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Like, I was a theater major in school, and then I went on to do like professional theater. And at the time I got married. I was married for a little while, and I realized I couldn't support a family being an actor. So I changed my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go find a regular job. So I stumbled upon this job. I was lucky enough that I had done digital editing before digital editing was a thing, video wise. And there was a public access station in Iowa City, Iowa. And they said, hey, we're looking for somebody who knows how to do digital video, because we're going to start doing digital video. And I'm like, I know that. So I started to do that. Well, in the process of doing that, I was like the social media manager and promotions for this public access station. And I started listening to this radio station because I liked the Don and Mike show. That was something that I carried over from when I was in college. I like listening to this Don and Mike show, and they were on this AM station in Iowa City. And so I started listening to the morning show, and I fell in love with the guys in the morning show. And I said, you know what? I want to come over and I want to do like a public access segment once a week. Can we do something like that? And they're like, yeah, come on over. Let's do it. Let's do like a segment or whatever. And then after the third week, the owner, who was also the morning show host, he said, do you want to come work over here? And I was like,
all right.
I kind of work at the public access station, but yeah, I do want to work over here because it's what I want. And it was the same thing. It was like, do whatever you like, do a show, play music once in a while, do talk, and just have fun with it. And that was fun and everything. But I have a lot of visual humor. So what happened was I reached out to public access and I said, hey, can I do a night show on once a week? Can I do like a talk show? And they said, we reserve the talk show time. We reserve that time for live bands to come and play music. And I said, what if I brought in a live band every week, and we did like a, I had like bands come on the show, and they said, okay. So I started this thing called Tonight with Bradman. It was Tuesday was with Bradman, and then I changed it to Tonight with Bradman because then I could do different days. I made the logo look like the Tab logo because I was in love with the Tab logo. And so I started doing the show, and I did that show for 7 years. Wow. I did this public access show for 7 years. I still get recognized for it. There, I'm like, some of my footage is in the Iowa City Public Library archives because there I covered a tornado that went through the city because I was the only person broadcasting live at the time. And so we like did like an all night tornado broadcast, and also that, and it's funny because we were going to have girls mud wrestle that night, and then
things changed.
Things changed, and then everybody, like, they're writing these articles in the paper about how great, like, a humanitarian I am. And I get on the air the next week and I go, you guys understand, like, we were ranking girls in this contest called March Hottie Madness, where we just took random 64 girls and just started ranking them on who was hotter. And that was like the whole gimmick was, it was so bad groups. I put twins in the same bracket because I wanted to be like, okay, which is the hotter twin?
I'd have people
vote online, and they could, like, it was back in the day. I don't know how they voted, but it was great. But anyways, I started streaming that, and I'm here now. Like, I started live streaming and all this other stuff. But the thing about my show was everybody for 7 years worked for free on this show. And so I always told everybody, I said, if I ever make it on television, I will reach out to you and you will be the first people I hire. And that happened. And at the time I got picked up to do a job. In fact, we'll talk about that in a little bit because something happened today, but yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Anyways, so I've been doing this for a long time. I don't want to lead into the next segment, but you are fascinating. You are fascinating.
I don't know about that.
I'm so glad that I've got to know you, and it's just fun to learn more about you. And my one question, because Ben always says this, do you really have bobbleheads?
Yes.
Is that a real they actually did bobblehead nights with you?
Yes. The Frisco Rough Riders for 3 consecutive years gave out 2 bobbleheads a season of me.
Okay. Okay.
So with the Rough Riders, that kind of came about just me being an idiot on Twitter. Like, I would tweet about Rangers games a lot. I still kind of do. I haven't gotten to do it as much the last couple seasons, just between working for the team the last few years, and then now just feeling like I never have a night to really watch.
Right.
Because I'm hopefully putting some effort into the next day's show. But, you know.
And now they're good. They were not doing
that,
so good for a while.
That
too,
helps.
Right? And now, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
like, hey, so I, you know, 2020 through 2022, I was forced to watch at least half the games, working all of them. But
right.
I was getting paid to watch baseball, so it still wasn't bad.
Hey, but, not bad at all.
Yeah, but I had just a bunch of, you know, since like the 2009 Rangers season, I've had just a bunch of like running bits, essentially, whether it's nicknames for players or just weird, stupid ways of describing how we scored, or, you know, calling a home run, whatever. And Chuck Greenberg, who briefly was an owner of the Rangers, you know, for a season, like, he went in with the Nolan Ryan group that bought the team in 2010 out of bankruptcy and all that. And you know, kind of a power struggle, which if you're, you know, if Nolan Ryan doesn't like you or, you know, finds a reason to not need you, he's going to win out, unfortunately. But Chuck has always been such an innovator. Like, he owned a bunch of minor league teams, still does, and wound up buying the Frisco Rough Riders in 2015. And I ran into him at the Dirk Nowitzki Heroes Celebrity Baseball game, like,
okay,
a few months before he wound up buying the team, maybe even the season before. But he kind of comes up to me, and, like, we hadn't met, but we'd been interacting on Twitter and, you know, friendly enough and all that. But he comes up to me and starts talking about how he's about to buy the team, which I'd kind of heard, so I knew that was legit. But then he starts talking about this idea he had for basically giving me the keys to the stadium for a night, you know, like every Thursday night home game, which there's about 10 of those a season, let's say.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever wacky bits and all that, you know, basically giving me the run of the place. And it would coincide with Thirsty Thursdays, so it's like dollar beer promotions and all that, and, you know, just basically having a big fun time.
Okay.
And one of his ideas also included bobbleheads. And that's where I started thinking, okay, now he's messing with me, you know, because I knew that he was friends with Ben and Skin, who I'd still kept in contact with even after we, you know, stopped working together. And so I was like, all right, Ben and Skin have somehow set me up for this weird prank with me and Chuck Greenberg. And so I you know, was friendly, I was cordial, but the whole time I'm thinking, this is BS.
Yeah, right.
And,
okay.
And then a few months later, you know, the deal becomes official. He takes over the team and he messages me again saying, hey, man, it's real. You know, I bought the team. Let's meet for lunch.
Okay.
And so that's when, you know, the ideas really started flowing. And, you know, the first season, the two bobbleheads, one of them was me like raising my fists. And the other one, I think, was like me laying on the ground or something.
Okay.
And then the next season, it got weirder with, like, I was a centaur and riding, and another one where I was riding a unicorn farting out rainbows. And then the third season was me with, like, you know, basically a toilet, but, like, set up like the Game of, a toilet set up like the Game of Thrones throne, you know, the swords and all that. But me with, like, the Captain Morgan stance, with my foot on a toilet, so it's the King of the Iron Throne.
Okay.
And it just was wacky, and, you know, the bobbleheads sold out, and, you know, there's still a few, though, available, like, on eBay for $40 to $60. Like, if you look up Groob's bobblehead on eBay, there's usually still a few floating around, even, you know, 4 or 5 years after the last one, because I think it would have been 2015, 16, 17, or 16, 17, 18. So it's been 5 years at least, but it's like, I'll still have people, you know, either.
Sorry. I looked them up. I thought so,
but, like, you know, people still tweet me either, you know, pictures of their own bobblehead collections and I'm on there, or, you know, they go to like some pawn shop or antique shop and randomly see, you know, one of my my silly bobbleheads. And it's just been a really weird journey the last 20 years of whatever you want to call this thing I've been doing.
Oh,
so it's weird. It's ridiculous.
Wow, this one's for $50.
I'm telling you.
I was trying to figure out which one am I going to buy out of these and put them in my background of the show, because these are great. You, my friend, have just amazed me by that. Like, I thought that was a bit.
Right.
You know that that's real, and that you have bobbleheads and that all this stuff. That is amazing. That is fantastic. And I also, what I admire the most about you, though, now is that I know that you had all this stuff and you were like, ah, you know what? They want me to work at the Freak. I'm going to go work at the Freak. And it's, and you kind of said, goodbye, bobbleheads. Hello, Freak. And sort of thing. And it was like, and I'm like, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah,
that's dedication.
Yeah, it's just been a weird journey, and, you know, like...
Did they ether you? Did you wake up and you were in the control room of the Freak? And then,
Yeah, like, I, you know, every now and then, you know, still think, like, wait, I'm working with Reiner again? I'm working with, you know, Danny and Soroy, and their hosts now, and Ben and Skin, and just everybody. And so, yeah, like, it's just been a weird, fun, obviously, journey the last 20 years of, you know, being full-time in radio for the majority of a decade, and then becoming a freelancer, picking up all these jobs. And then I've been kind of looking to get something a little more with stabilized hours and not working as late and all that. And, you know, I hadn't really expressed anything, you know, to anyone necessarily about that, but it would have been weighing pretty heavy on my mind of, like, trying to find something that's a little bit better balance of, you know, lifestyle and, you know, ideally still having fun and still being able to make a living. And all of a sudden, you know, getting a call actually on my birthday back in last July saying, hey, you know, there's this opportunity that might be coming along in radio. it wouldn't be at the ticket, but would you be interested? I was like, well, I'd want to know more, but I'm not going to, kind of like we mentioned earlier, I'm not going to just outright shut it down. But yeah, when you get, you know, a little more info that you can tell me and all that, you know, come back to me. And about a month later, you know, I get a much bigger idea of what the plan is. And, you know, it's still a little bit shaky, or, you know, a little bit uncertain of trying to figure out, you know, if it would work, if it'll get approved, because, you know,
I got you.
Yeah. iHeart is a big corporation. It takes, you know, a few steps to make stuff happen. And, you know, unfortunately, that also means some people lose their jobs or get moved around and all that. And it's like, it's a weird spot to be in, but selfishly, it was a really great opportunity if it could work out. And so far it has. So
awesome. I'm just so great.
Yeah. Just really thankful. And as I like to say, just try not to screw it up.
Right. Right. Can you, can stick around with me for a while, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I need to do a read real quick. So hold on real quick. 'Cause I actually have my first sucky sponsor right here. Paleo's Grapevine. Paleo's Pizza in Grapevine location is a neighborhood Italian restaurant. They offer a variety of authentic Italian dishes, including pizza, calzones, and pasta, as well as sandwiches, salads, and more. You've ate at Paleo's, right? Grubes?
I have. Sorry.
Oh, did I just catch you? I'm going to drink water. Okay, I got you. Anyways, go
drink your water. Paleo's is awesome.
Yeah, go drink your water.
All right, fine.
All their food is prepared fresh to order with only the finest ingredients, and they work very hard to give you the best possible food experience. Paleo's is known for fresh ingredients, fresh dough daily, never frozen, and they even offer gluten-free options. Conveniently located in the heart of Grapevine, Texas, near DFW Airport and the Great Wolf Lodge for over 10 years. Come grab a table in their friendly and comfortable dining room. They are kid-friendly, and they also have a pet-friendly patio with fire pit. And they are open from Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 9. Fridays and Saturdays, 11 to 10. Did you know that Paleo's is in Grapevine is also BYOB? So grab your friends and a bottle of wine for a nice dinner with no cork fees. Or if you want to enjoy Paleo's at home, carry out and delivery is also available through Uber Eats and DoorDash. And for your next office party or special event, remember, Paleo's Grapevine caters. So visit their website and order today, paleosgrapevine.com. That's paleosgrapevine.com. And use the code SUCKYPIZZA. Okay, you might have to put down your water for this one, Groom. Here's the deal, everybody. If you go online, or you go to the Paleo's location in Grapevine and you say, I have a code, and the code is Sucky Pizza, $5 off your order of $15 or more.
Dude.
So literally, I looked at the prices are incredible to begin with. Everything's really affordable to begin with. You're looking at like $15 worth of food for 10 bucks.
I want
that. And all you have to do is say Sucky Pizza. And also, by the way, shout out to them, because they thought it was hilarious that I wanted the passcode to be Sucky Pizza. And they were all for it. So Paleo's Grapevine location is happy to be one of our first Sucky sponsors.
But they are not Sucky.
They are not Sucky at all. They are not Sucky at all. We're going to go eat there one night.
I already said
we're going to take you over there. That's going to be a good time. It's going to be had by all. I'm excited by that. So welcome back to the Sucky Podcast.
Hey.
Broadcast. I already screwed up already. So
habits are hard. Hard to
Yeah,
learn.
They really are. I know, because every once in a while I hear somebody say the word ticket or fan or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, God. It happens.
Yes. Anyways, I can still go through and say, for my public access show, I can go through and say, we're live. Give us a call, 338-8456. Like, I know, I still remember the number from the studio where people would call in. So let's talk about this first, because you mentioned Twitter.
Yes, sir.
Let's have this conversation first. We're going to go off on tangents now, and we're going to talk about things that are going on in the world. And groups you get to be a part of the conversation. So you were verified and now you're not, correct?
Correct. That is correct.
I have somehow flown under the radar, and because I'm legacy or whatever it's called too, because I was verified a long time ago for doing TV and whatever. And Elon's going to listen to this podcast and be like, okay, well, no, get him off.
Yeah, we got to nuke him. Yeah. We got to get rid of that one.
Yeah. So he's going to know that, because he's an avid listener to the podcast, I know.
Of course. Everybody is.
Yeah. So, because I'm streaming on Twitter right now, actually, on both my platform and on the Stucky Broadcast platform. But I've somehow skated. I keep getting a notification like, you're going to lose your verification if you don't pay. You're going to lose your verification if you don't pay. And it's frustrating to me because I will get on Twitter and I will say something and somebody will be like, shut up. You suck because you paid $8 for this. And I'm like, no,
right.
I've been here forever, but they combined it. But that's the point. He's kind of ruined the whole idea of being verified because now it's just a paid process and you can't really take anybody seriously because anybody with $8 in their pocket and a real phone number can be verified now. And so it's just taken away the whole idea of what was special about behind being verified. Agree or disagree?
I agree. And, you know, really, like, me losing my verification doesn't affect me. Like, I kind of did it on a whim along with Jeff K, who I'd mentioned before, you know, the Stars PA guy. Like, I was working with the Stars DJ at the time. I think I'd already been with the Mavericks and, you know, with the Rough Riders. So I had, you know, enough that, you know, I showed up on the Stars website as the music director and stuff, where it's like,
right.
You can see this is me, but it was also kind of like fun just to have a blue check and then seeing, you know, Mike Reiner never had one. Like, that's how
right.
The whole thing is anyway, way before Elon or whatever, where I just thought it was funny that I had one.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that was me too. Cause what happened with me was, way back in the day, 2008, there was this girl on Twitter. She's still there. Her name's Caroline. She's okay. Her avatar's a little girl with an umbrella. Like, it's Carolyn from whatever.
That's so. This
Caroline, Caroline. And back in the day, she was the girl that worked for Twitter, and she would just verify people. And I had enough people that were attacking me because I was a live streamer at the time. I was an early live streamer adapter, and I was doing stuff. I was on Ustream, and I was on Justin TV. And I said, Caroline, if I give you a kiss, will you verify me? And I woke up the next morning, and I was verified. And then I literally helped people like Snoop Dogg and Alyssa Milano and those people get verified because they saw I was verified, and they came to me for help in the early days of Twitter to get verified. Like, Snoop Dogg has followed me on Twitter, and Alyssa Milano has. I actually unfollowed Alyssa Milano because of political differences, but she still follows me. And it's funny because I think I need to follow her back because I'm over that time or whatever. But it's just fascinating to me, all these people that follow. Like, there was one girl who was in, I think she was in that Kevin Spacey movie where he's like trying to have sex with a kid, a high school girl or whatever.
American
biography, like a movie.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Yeah. But but there was this girl, and she reached out to me, and I helped her get verified, and she followed me, and then she unfollowed me once I got her verified. And then I was like, these actresses are horrible.
I kind of respect the game, you know?
So my thing is, I had a lot of followers. I had a lot of interaction, but I was an early person on there. So I stopped using Twitter a lot. So I had a ton of followers. And then I had this guy, I had a fan of mine who thought he was doing me a favor, buy a bunch of fake followers. And I was like, no, dude, that ruins everything. So I went through and I deleted all of these people that I thought were, like, I used a program to delete fake followers, but it just started deleting all of my followers.
Oh, God.
And then my interaction went down. And so people will be like, why? How are you verified? Because only three people tweeted you. And I'm like, that's because I don't have any engagement. It's all gone. Like, everything's on my Instagram. Everything's on my Facebook. Everything's everywhere else. But the nice thing about being verified early on Twitter was whenever anything else new came out, you were verified. all you do is be like, well, I'm verified on Twitter. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Here you go. And yeah. Then here's Instagram. You're verified and all this other stuff. And I like Instagram because Instagram's not turned around going, Instagram and Facebook aren't like, you don't get your badge anymore if you don't pay. Like, they're not doing what Elon did.
Yet.
But they're still letting people pay for it. But they're being a little bit better about it. They're not just letting anybody willy-nilly do it. You still got to have some sort of press or whatever. But that was it. I have already decided I use Twitter. I know you guys were talking about Twitter on the radio the other day. I was listening to it. But I use Twitter as nothing more than glorified customer service. Example. Here's my example. When I moved here and I was moving in this apartment, there's this thing. I signed up for electricity or whatever from the power company. And they said, oh, we're going to connect you to all connect. And this company's going to like make you, they'll help you set up your internet. I'm like, oh, cool. That's great. Whatever. So this girl on the phone keeps talking about how just for calling today, I'm going to give you a $150 gift card. And I'm like, cool, $150 gift card. I'll take that. That's great. So get to the process, signs me up for, she's going to sign me up for AT&T. It ends up going through Spectrum. So I signed up for Spectrum. I'm on here. Thank you, Spectrum. I can do this show. And she, and then I wait for a week and I don't see my gift card. And I'm like, why don't I have a gift card? So I get on Twitter. I'm like, hey, how come I don't have a gift card? Like, I was supposed to get a gift card. And they were like, oh, that was only if you ordered AT&T. And I was like, she didn't say that. She said, I get a gift card I get a gift card.
Right.
And they were like, she said it wrong. We can't give you a gift card. But she goes, yesterday they called me. They call me. That's when you know you're good on Twitter, is when they're calling you on the phone because they've gotten your number somehow from finding your name on Twitter. Because I'm the only laborman in the world, so it's easy to find me.
Fair enough.
And they're like, we can't send you a gift card, but we're going to mail you a check for $150. And I go, sweet, send it over.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'll take it. Yeah, I go, well, you don't have to do that, but I will take that. Because, yes, thank you. Because, you know, I'm just like, whatever. But anyways, that's Twitter. So I'm proud of you, and I hope you're proud of me that, yeah, once they take it down, I'm not concerned about it. Because being verified is more of a curse than anything. Because anytime you try to say anything, people are like, shut up, you stupid blue badge person with no brain or whatever. And it's just really just like, what's the point? It's just,
yeah,
the people are angry if they're verified. Now everybody's getting verified. So now it's a joke. So,
yeah, and I've been lucky where, you know, with Twitter, like I've been on it long enough and doing the jobs that I've done, like I've kind of always been a little bit insulated where it's like, I've got my group of people that know how I tweet. It's stupid. It's silly. I interact a ton with, you know, friends, followers, whatever you want to call it. But it's like, I know basically everybody, like through,
yeah,
you know, working the Stars games, people coming up to me, or, you know, events at the Ticket or now with the Freak, whatever, where I've always just been able to use it for interaction and fun and ideas, frankly, like, especially when I took over the Stars job, like I told you, I'd never done anything like that before. I didn't really trust my taste in music of what would make the most sense for a Stars game, especially since they were looking to go in a bit of a different direction, a little away from the traditional hockey experience, which they'd always kind of done, but, you know, they really were looking to change things up. And so, you know, being able to have Stars fans that also knew my humor and, you know, some of the way I did things, were able to kind of say, you know, this song might work for this situation. And so, you know, for me, Twitter has always just been, you know, interacting and having fun with people. And, you know, thankfully for me, the blue check never really amounted to anything except for, like I said, just having fun, be able to kind of poke people, you know, my friends that don't have one, even though they absolutely should over someone like me.
Right. As somebody who lived in Hollywood, the blue check has helped me to slide into girls' DMs, into celebrity DMs. And that's been
fair enough.
Yeah. So because Raya won't ever accept me as Raya because I'm fat. I know that's the reason why Raya. I don't know if you know what Raya is. It's like some sort of like celebrity dating app I've been trying to get on for 10 years. Yeah. So anyways, okay. So let me show you something real quick. I'm going to show you a clip. It's a little bit of a long clip. I might not show you the whole thing, because I'm realizing now I might not show you the whole thing. Plus, I even though I'm on this, I feel like I don't own the copyright to this. Let me give you a story, okay? So I just did a podcast today. I was on another podcast this morning. And that's because I used to do a website called I Dump For You, where I would break up with people for other people over the phone. Oh, I did this from 2008 to 2012. Or 2009, 2012. This is what I did. As soon as we put it out, so what happened was I was with a group of friends that I had met from being on social media and doing stuff and being an early adopter of social media. And I was with this YouTuber. His name was Swift Karate Chop. He was a real popular YouTuber at the time. And there was this guy named Louie who worked with Dig.com or was an influencer on Dig.com. And I said, I had this idea because I used to do radio. I want to do videos where I just break up with people. I'm going to reach out to people, get people who need breakups, break up with people, edit out anything that's too personal of information, put them on YouTube with just a graphic and put them out. And my friend's like, that will never work because everybody wants visual a lot. And I'm like, I'm going to do this, right? So he goes, okay, so the plan is Swift. He goes, you make one. I'll put it out. I'll promote it. And then after 2 weeks, Louie can throw it up on Dig and we'll get it on the front page of Dig. And then we'll see what happens from there. I reach out to people on Twitter. I get 5 breakups. I edit them. I put the best one on. I put it on there. The audio is not the best in the world because it's early on, me recording with a microphone on my phone and trying to do stuff. Swifty promotes it. The next morning, it's on Dig. On its own, it's on the front page of Dig.
Oh, boy.
And I get 5 offers to do a TV show. And then people are talking to me and all this other stuff. And I go, they're like, do you have any more of these? I'm like, yeah, I got 4 other ones. So the whole week, I just put out an episode a day. And I was like, here's an episode. My YouTube page blew up. I got a bunch of followers really quickly on there. And yeah, I ended up doing a TV show. So I went to New York City. I worked with this production company called Picture This Television. They had been doing Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D List. They did a couple other shows, like a cooking show and some other stuff. And they're like, we want to do this thing. And right now it's a battle between MTV and True TV. And I found out after True TV won, MTV reached out to me and they're like, we would pick your brain for any other idea that you have. Now, I want to be clear. The phone calls were real. That was all real. When I got to True TV, however, they sat me down at a meeting and they said, Bradley, this is a quote of what they said. They go, Bradley, a grown man crying because his car is being towed is good television. But a grown man crying because his car is being towed, who is dressed in a chicken suit, that's True TV. And
jeez.
So which one of these breakups would you say is your chicken suit? And I'd be like, well, these are the breakups. And the producers were like, these are the funniest breakups. We want to buy the rights to these. You can never have these again. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then they kind of went through and re-scripted them. And then they kind of faked them up a little bit. And I was a little disappointed. But true story, I had complete production control. And I reached out to my friends and I said, who wants a job? And not all of them had families and nobody wanted to leave Iowa. So, but I did what I said I was going to do. I said,
yeah, you followed through.
You can move here now and you can get a job. And then the show's going to get canceled later on anyway. So it won't matter anyways, because Impractical Jokers comes out at the same time and they kicked me off of the court. But
I do feel bad. I do love Impractical Jokers.
I do too. I didn't for a long time, but I do. I got over it. But right here is... So let me tell you what happened. So they were going to do puppets. They were going to do all this other stuff. We decided on animating the calls. And at first they were going to be like, we're going to animate the whole thing. They're like, no, we're going to have Bradley be live action and we're going to animate the call part. And I'm like, I'm in on that. But at the time I was a huge fan of College Humor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can you get me the guy from College Humor that does the animations? And they got him. And so here is. I dump for you, which I'm probably not allowed to show, but I'm going to show it anyways. And here's some audio from it. This is I Dump For You, the only episode that was shot. Here's a segment from it right now.
Hello?
Phone call's being recorded. Can I speak to Alexis, please?
This is Alex.
Alex, hi. This is Bradley from MyDumpForYou.com. I am calling
Who is this?
It's Bradley from MyDumpForYou.com. I'm calling with a message from your boyfriend, Derek.
Okay.
Derek wants me to break up with you because you are turning into a vampire and it's creeping him out.
What? That's ridiculous.
Okay, Derek said that you recently have begun acting more and more weird and that you colored your hair dark black and...
Really?
You don't go out a lot during the day. And at first he thought you were sick, but then he says that your friends have seen you hanging out with people who drink blood.
And
he is convinced that you are drinking blood.
That is so ridiculously low. What the fuck? Okay. Are you kidding? Okay, one time at a party, my friends and I were drunk, and we were
Okay, wait. One time you were at a party, and what?
I do not do it on a regular basis. Oh, my God.
What kind of blood was it? Was it human blood?
No, it was cow blood. God.
Okay. All right. I can understand, like, oh, I got drunk at a party and I made out with somebody, or I got drunk at a party and I took my shirt off and danced on a table, but I've never had anybody said, oh my God, I got really drunk at this party and I drank a bunch of cow blood.
Okay. Did I say a bunch? Don't go putting words in my mouth because I never said
that. Okay, I am not putting words in your mouth. All I'm saying is that he's honestly afraid of you and he doesn't want to break.
Okay, there we go. So there's that. That's based off of a real call, but they had me call an actress and do the whole thing over. But that was
That's insane.
That was I Dumped For You, and I had a lot of episodes, and these guys were like, so what happened was I randomly was Googling I Dumped For You because every once in a while somebody will tweet at me or say, hey, aren't you Bradley from I Dumped For You? And I Googled myself and a podcast came up and I was like, whoa, weird. That's weird. Who's talking about me? And it's like 2023. And it was these guys and they were just like, when I was a kid, I used to listen to I Dumped For You all the time. And then Bradley disappeared off the face of the earth and he doesn't do anything anymore. And I was like, whoa, hold on. I'm still out there. I'm still doing stuff. So I messaged their podcast and I was like, I am still doing stuff. And that was kind of offensive or whatever. And they were like, oh my God, come on the show. So I went on and did the show. And this guy was hilarious because he was just like being like a geek about me, like whatever. I had the best story. There was two stories. One was I was on the cover of AOL.com for I Dumped For You. And we went when I moved to New York City, my friends and I were in Lower East Side. And there was this place called Pianos, and I loved Pianos. It's the bar where Lady Gaga was discovered.
Okay. You know?
And so we're going there, and there's a huge line. And my friends are like, show them your phone and show them you're on the cover of AOL.com. Because I just gotten like an iPhone, so I could like show, like I could like like open up the web on it. I was like, look at this. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go up to the front of the line. I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? Can I get in? I'm kind of a celebrity. I don't know. Like, I just like say that. I'm like, hey, you know, and so I show him AOL.com. He's like, oh dude, that is you. Come on in. Opens the thing and lets me in. So then 3 months later, we're drunk. We hop on we're super drunk. Cause we had some sort of like mixer or something like that. And my friend's like, let's go down to Pianos and get in. So we go down to Pianos. There's a huge line. And he's not going to remember. It's been 3 months ago, whatever. We walk up to the door. The guy's there. As soon as he sees me, he opens the gate. He's like, come on in. He flags me in. And I was, yeah. And then I go, I'm going to move next to Pianos because I ended up getting an apartment next to Pianos because I'm like, I can go here whenever I want. So that's what I want to do. The other story was I was in New York City and there was a restaurant that had just opened up called Bonchon, which is now everywhere.
Green
chicken. Love it. Love it. It's great. And I was ordering and the girl behind the counter was like, cause I never showed my face. Like nobody ever saw what I look like on stuff other than when I was on TV doing an interview. And this woman goes, are you Bradley from MyDumpForYou.com? And I go, yes, I am. And she like makes her friend take pictures with me and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, that was so weird. And it was such a high because I'm like, I've never been recognized. And to be recognized just by my voice was a big deal. So
that's amazing.
I was happy with it. I loved it. I love that stuff. That's what I love.
It's pretty magical. Like,
yes, it was.
It's still weird, you know, for me getting recognized or, you know, all that, you know, 20 years into doing whatever the heck I'm doing. And it's a really cool feeling, but it also feels like me.
Yeah. And that's right. It's like forever ago too, right? This is stuff that you were doing forever ago and people are still recognizing you from it. And cause I went on to, when I was trying to get that video to pull it off of Facebook, that aired on Valentine's Day in 2012.
Wow. Okay.
And so I was looking at the comments and it was like, and the comments were like 11 years ago. And I was like, Jesus,
that
was 11 years ago. And I've done like a million other things since then. And I said, I quit doing it because these guys at parties would come up to me and they'd be like, hey, you're that I done for you guy. I've got this girl living at my house and I want to get rid of her. How do I get rid of her? And my whole thing was like, I was really trying to help people. Like I was like, relationships can turn toxic when one person wants to get out of the relationship and they're just, nobody can end it. And so it just turns into like this huge mess. And so I just was like helping people. I remember Savannah Guthrie's was on the weekend show for the Today Show. Now she's like a major Today Show person. And she was on the weekend and she went in and she was convinced she was going to like destroy me on Sunday Today Show. Oh, which by the way, I got to throw footballs with Chad Ochocinco. I remember because we're in the dressing room and he's getting his makeup done. I'm getting my makeup done. And I'm like, oh, I break up with people. And he's like, dude, that's awesome. And then he's like, I was playing him like video. I was playing him like recordings of my breakups or whatever. And then he's like, you want to throw a football around? I'm like, yeah, you kidding? That's great. I just had I had these fun memories of just random things that happened because of that stuff. And I love it. So, and I love where I'm at now doing this podcast.
Glad to have you here, man.
Doing this podcast for free. Thanks for coming on for, thanks for coming on for free too. But again, thank you to Palio's Pizza for being my Sucky sponsor on that.
I was going to say, we're going to get some pizza soon. So that's good.
Yeah. For me. That's going to be great. So one more thing I wanted to, I had a list of things we were going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think we can touch on it real quick, but I think the baseball guy,
Anthony Bass.
That guy's he's a former Ranger.
Yes. Like probably 5 or 6 years ago at this point, but yeah.
Right. And so he posts on social media that his wife had to clean up popcorn that his kids had spewed all over the floor and that the stewardess made my pregnant wife get on the floor and pick up all this popcorn. But when you look at it, you think he's there, right? But then he wasn't there.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job of explaining that part. And that does, I think, change the context some.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty weird thing for the flight attendant to just be like, no, you do this. Like, I understand, I guess, that they're just like, I've got enough other stuff to deal with. You know, and maybe they couldn't tell that the wife was pregnant or I don't know. But it's one of those I can kind of see both sides. Like, I don't think anyone really looks
really
great
because I can't see the idea of like, hey, I'm going to send my pregnant wife on a plane by herself with two kids.
And that part, that's not ideal.
There we go.
I think there would be, you know, hope like a relative or someone that could join, but maybe they're on the way to see him or who knows. You know, I try to, you know, give people a little bit of a chance and all that.
Not
like,
me.
Think about Anthony Bass. Like, it's not like he's some, you know, superstar pitcher. He's kind of been up and down, you know, majors and minors and all that, where it's like he's probably not banking, you know, relative to a superstar. But I don't know, it's a weird thing, you know, like if they did know she was pregnant and just were like, nope, you gotta get on the ground and no one's gonna help you, you know, that's pretty rough.
Right, okay.
But I also think, you know, Anthony Bass putting out a tweet, you know, with basically no context except for what makes kind of, United or whoever, you know, whichever airline looked bad, that also feels a little, you know,
but
like he was
on top
a
of that, though,
too.
I think United did a good job of being like, okay, whatever. But I do want to say that I'm very proud of these airlines that have said things like, when Spirit had to cancel a bunch of flights because of something that happened, mm-hmm. and Spirit Airlines was like, everybody's like, dude, my flight got canceled. You owe me a hotel. And Spirit Airlines is like, bro, you pay $19 for this ticket. We are not going to give you a hotel room. Like, you are out $19 on this ticket. Wait, get another flight, whatever. But we're not going to throw you a hotel room because you decided to pay $19. You get what you paid for. And I was kind of like, good job.
I would figure, especially the last few years of, you know, everything that's been going on, airlines especially, I feel like I've seen a pretty rough side of society, you know, people, you know, demanding things and having attitudes and all that, where I'm sure, you know, I have no idea how the wife acted or how the kids were acting or whatever, but I could see a flight attendant just being like, I've got enough to deal with. Y'all take care of it. Just leave me alone. So it's one of those, who knows? But yeah.
And he also, did he indicate if it was a male or female flight attendant?
Because
it was a male flight attendant, I even picture it more like, girl, you can do that on your own. Like, pick up your own popcorn. Like, I can see that even being the case too. All right, but here's what I wanted to. This is the last thing I want to talk about, and then I'll let you be on your way for the evening. I don't know if you heard this or not. Let me bring up this article that I... Whoops, let me not do that. Let me open this in a new window. I almost closed the show. I didn't mean to do that.
That would not be ideal.
That would not be ideal. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to click this bookmark. And I'm going to pause this. Woody Harrelson confirms the crazy chance that Matthew McConaughey. Oh, something froze.
Uh-oh. I'm still here.
Come on. Oh, you're still here, and I hear you, so we're still on the air, so that's good. Woody Harrelson confirms the crazy chance that Matthew McConaughey could be his brother.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because Woody Harrelson reaffirmed the possibility that Matthew McConaughey could be his half-brother because Matthew McConaughey's mom was on a break from her, the person that would be Matthew McConaughey's dad at the time, and was hanging out with and had made a comment to Woody Harrelson like, oh yeah, I know your dad pretty good. I know your dad pretty good. He said there was a pause in there on what he said, but he said they've been thinking about doing a DNA test. They're thinking about it because they are convinced that there's a good possibility that Woody Harrelson, because if you look at pictures of them together, knowing that they might be related, they have the same nose and face.
You can say
that. They have the same face. So
I want to believe
that. Yeah. So breaking news, because it wasn't really breaking, it was on TMZ. And I get like TMZ stuff early. I don't know if you saw, I was on TMZ the other day. It was pretty fun. It was a good time.
Wait, so, what?
I was on TMZ the other day.
Did I miss that? I must have.
Wait, hold on. I can show you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you probably got it.
All right. I think we're okay to show this on the air too. I don't know what the copyright is. This is copyright. I'm going to get kicked off the show the first day I'm on.
First and only guest, apparently.
Yeah. Let me, what is it? What did it call? What did I call it? Brad Man. Here it is. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Bradley Laborman from Arlington, Texas. The Kid Rock video that's up on Twitter right now, everybody's freaking out about it. I don't understand what the big deal is. It's Kid Rock being Kid Rock. It's Bud Light acting like they care because they know this is a way. Bud Light got what they want. Bud Light wanted reactions. That's why they did what they did. That's why they got known to be a sponsor for this thing. And it makes perfect sense because I think they identify as a beer.
Yes, identify as a beer.
That's actually very Machiavellian, but there might be something to it, actually.
And then he was like, that's very Machiavellian. Like, I made Harvey think. I made Harvey go, hey, you know what? Maybe they did just do this because they were trying to get some attention to the thing. But that turned into a whole thing. But that was funny because they reached out to me and they said, are you free right now? Because I said I'd be on at some point, and they reached out to me on Skype and they're like, dude, we need somebody to talk about Kid Rock. We just saw your tweet. Can you talk about Kid Rock? I'm like, yes, I can do it. And then he's like, I'm trying to get you on like every couple of weeks now.
Nice.
And I'm like, cool. So,
well, dude, that's awesome.
Wait, I was going to tell you something, but I don't want to say it on the here because I'll tell you later about something. I have an idea. I have an idea. All right. Anyways, so that's it. We went a little bit over on the show. We went a little bit over on the show. I mean, I'm very happy with this first show. Very happy that you could be my first guest on this sucky broadcast.
Likewise.
And let me start this outro music and see if I can get this right. So, thank you, Groups, for being the first guest on this show. Where can people find you? What's your social media handle?
Twitter's my main thing. So, at Tweet Groups. I believe I've got the same thing for Instagram and then Facebook. Like, you can pretty much just find me on the 97.1 The Freak listener group. And otherwise, I don't really do much on there.
And yeah, and listen to Groups pretty much all afternoon on The Freak. 971thefreak.com. I'll give them a plug. They're not a sponsor or anything, but I'll give them a plug. You guys could. No, but for all you guys have done for me, that's the least I can do. I will be back again next week with another installment of the Sucky Broadcast. We have a lot of great guests lined up. I mean, can they top Groobs? I don't know if that's going to be possible or not.
Nope.
But I think it's going to be a good time. Oh, thank you to Paleo's Pizza for being my first official sucky sponsor. Paleo's Pizza, I appreciate you. In Grapevine, go check them out again. Use the code SUCKYPIZZA for $5 off any order of $15. Groups, you have a good evening.
You too. Thank you,
Bradley. Have a good week too. Everybody else, you have a good week as well. And that's it. See you guys later. Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.